He is the Conqueror's President of the United Pentecostal Church International. But he is one great friend to have. He knows a lot about what Brother Ewing was preaching about today with the thorn in the flesh. And what this man has suffered and been through in his ministry is no small thing. But it's only made him a greater preacher. I walked into my office and a number of the staff was in there crying. I said, "My, what's wrong with everybody melancholy in here?" They said, "Well, Brother Johnson told us today was his boy's birthday. I want Brother Johnson to know we're happy to celebrate it with him. He's got a deposit on the other side of Jordan on the sunny banks of Sweet Deliverance. And Rex Johnson, this church loves you. These ministers love you. And we want you to open your heart and minister to us. Would you welcome our youth president, Brother Rex Johnson?"
Praise God. Let's love the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Just remain standing for just a little while. It's so good to see all of you. And feels so good to be a part of this great fellowship. And I love this fellowship. I had a birthday the other day and I'm 36. I'm more than a conqueror, was still a conqueror's job. And if you get tired of me, just let me know. And I'll pray for you. Because I feel right now in the very center of the will of God. Very happy about what I'm doing. Glad to see all of you. Boy, my soul's been fed. We have been touched today. In fact, I'll never be the same. Hallelujah. I love my elders. Everlasting one of them, from the top of their head to the soul of every one of them. I love my contemporaries. And of all the preachers that's paraded up here, even the one that's going to come after me tonight, I am the least of all these. I feel the most insufficient. And the subject that the Holy Ghost has dropped in my heart is bigger than I can preach. It's bigger than I can handle. And I'm glad I don't have to handle it in 20 minutes. Brother Anthony told me I could have 45 or 50. I'm going to take every slap bit of it. The message I'm fixing to preach tonight, I couldn't have preached it on Tuesday night if I'd have started this meeting. Isn't it something how the Holy Ghost times things? It would have sounded very far-fetched to try to preach what I'm about to preach on Tuesday night. But I feel very much in the hand and in the will of God tonight. I was so excited to get to church, my hands were clammy. My feet were cold. My nose was running. Praise God. You ever been there? I thought I just did that myself. But now I'm here and I'm scared silly. Somebody said, "Brother Johnson, you got to be kidding." No, I'm really not. I am. I'm not afraid of you because you're made out of the same mud I was made out of. I'm fearful of the hour of missing what I need to say. Hallelujah. It's good to see Brother Kilgore here. Brother Tenney. Two men I admire and appreciate. Good to be with the pastors of this church. And I do love Brother and Sister Mangan very much. And Brother Anthony and Sister Mickey very much. I've been honored and privileged to preach in this church. Always good to be back, and you folks treat me so good. I want to preach a little bit tonight to you, and I'm going to address my remarks to these young ministers. Everybody wants to listen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to two portions of Scripture, the first found in the book of Mark. And the second found in the book of Genesis. It's good to have all the superintendents that are here. It's good to have my precious wife with me. Love Patty. Yesterday we celebrated 4 years. And the four best years of my life. Mark chapter number 12 and verse 28. One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." I want you to go back and notice some things here. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy what? And what? And what? And strength. Praise God. Genesis chapter number 31. Verse 17. Then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels. He carried away all his cattle and all his goods which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting which he had gotten in Padan Aram, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. And Laban went to shear his sheep. Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. And Jacob stole away unawares to Laban, Syrian, that he told him not that he fled. So he fled with all that he had. He rose up and passed over the river and set his face toward the Mount Gilead. It was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled. He took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey. They overtook him in the Mount of Gilead. Verse 26. And Laban said to Jacob, "Why hast thou done, or what hast thou done, and that thou hast stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword? Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me? Didst not tell me, I might have sent thee away with myrrh, with songs, and with tabret, and with harp. Hast not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters. Thou hast now done foolishly in so doing. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. But the God of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, Take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. Now, though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou so longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods?" Jacob answered and said to Laban, "Because I was afraid. For I said, Peradventure thou wouldest take by force thy daughters from me. With whomsoever thou findest thy gods, let him not live. For our brethren discern thou what is thine with me, take it to thee." For Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen them. Laban went unto Jacob's tent, and unto Leah's tent, and to the two maidservants' tent, but he found them not. And he went out of Leah's tent and entered into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the images, and put them in the camel's furniture, and set upon them, and Laban searched all the tent, but found them not.
she said to her father, "Let it not displease my Lord. I cannot rise up before thee, for the custom of women is upon me." And he searched, but found not the images. I want to speak to you tonight from these passages of Scripture, and perchance this is larger than what I am. Let me just preach in due time. I know I've heard from God. And I'm going to say what I feel in the Holy Ghost. Grab somebody's hand and say, "I'm going to help my brother." You may be seated. An unnamed scribe comes to Jesus after Jesus had been cornered by a bunch of questions that were unintelligent, people that were insincere. A young scribe comes to him with a very sincere question. When he says, "What is the first commandment, Lord? I'd like to know what you think it is," because in his mind he knew, because he was a scribe. It was his way, really, of testing the Lord. And the Lord said, "The first of all commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul," whatever you think that might be, I know what the first one is, "with all thy mind, and with thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now, I know that Jesus does not make mistakes. I'm the first to tell you that. I want to tell you that firsthandedly. He doesn't make mistakes. God knows what He's doing. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. And Jesus did not misquote the Word. Because as the Creator, He had put it in the heart of His man way back yonder. And it had not changed to now. The first was still, "Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is one Lord." But the next part is what I want to zero in on. He said, "You've got to love Him with your heart. You've got to love Him with your soul, mind, and strength." I don't want to totem pole this, as Brother Tenney talked about, but I've got a hunch that Jesus wanted to put heart first, or He wouldn't have put heart first. I think He wanted to say heart first. If He wanted to say mind first, He would have said it. Today is a very special day for me. Just give me a little time now. It's bigger than I am, but I'm going to try to get it there. Because my boy, who was a blonde, good-looking kid, his birthday's today. I love him. He'll do. Just about about him in a funeral the other day. But I'll never forget the crushing blow that interrupted my life 5 years ago. I was so low. A lot of people don't know it, but I went to see a psychologist. Because I needed somebody to tell me, you're supposed to feel this way. But I never thought I'd preach a psychologist's message. I said, "Doctor, I gotta know something." I said, "I gotta know what's wrong with me. Because my head is spinning, but my heart is constant. I can't figure it out, but my heart says, just believe Jesus." Now what I want to know, doctor, is what should I listen to, my head or my heart? And a psychologist told me this. He said, "Preacher, I want to tell you something." He said, "Our most truthful answers are gut answers." He said, "If I can get you to talk out of your heart." Now some of you may have already turned me off, but you better turn me back on, because I got something to tell you tonight. And I said, "Doctor, what do you propose?" He said, "Preacher, listen to your heart." He said, "Our job is simple, and it's this. The mind and the heart, when they run parallel, there's total happiness in that life." But he said, "Most people have deep-seated convictions that their mind don't want to obey." And instead of a parallel, there is a cross. And when there's a cross, you've got problems. I went home. Many nights I would fall into the bed with all my clothes on just from exhaustion. I didn't want to sleep. Didn't want to eat. That ain't the problem now. Didn't want to do nothing but die. And people would tell me, "Johnson, get your head on right. It's going to be all right." It's more than getting your head on right. You got to get your heart on right. See, it happened to me just as I'm fixing to tell it. I don't know if I've ever shared this publicly or not, except in a few local churches, but at a meeting like this. Stay with me now. I was laying on my bed, my little girl, nightmares, problems. I was trying to be strong for her and strong for a church, and I was dying myself. That was then. I'm all right now. I'm just telling about it because I got a message to preach. And the devil, it may never happen to you, and you may think I'm off in left field, but the devil was at the foot of my bed taunting me. Telling me I'd never preach again. I'd never lead a church to victory again. I'd never have an anointed ministry again. It was 4:45 that morning. I'll never forget. 4:40. And I cried out. I said, God, I can't take it anymore. And he woke me. You know what he said? He said, son, your mind's going to be all right. I'm going to reach past that mind. And I'm going to touch that troubled heart. And I'm going to make it lay down and go to sleep. Now watch this. And he said, call my name. Boy, it sounds first grade right now. But he said, call my name. I said, all right, Jesus. He said, do it again. I said, Jesus. 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 And then that scripture came to me. He would make up my bed in the time of my affliction. And I felt his hand popping my pillow. And I felt his hand coming under the small of my back. And I felt his hand going on my head. And I felt his hand touching my heart. Him say, peace, be still. And that old heart got to pumping right. God straightened me out. And my mind, the next morning, I never heard 5 o'clock gong in the living room's chime. I never heard the 5 o'clock hour because I went off to sleep in his name. Praise God. Woke up 7:30 to get the little girl off to school. Refreshed. Just in 2.5 hours. And you know what caused it? There was a heart healing. It's different than a mind healing. It's a heart healing. Now I'm fixing to preach something to you tonight. Because of the times, 1986 has done something different than 82 or 83 and 84. Not just to me, but something has happened. We have been touched by wonderful preaching in times past. And we have left here with tapes tucked under our arms like a college freshman just learning a new day in college. We have left here with all kinds of high hopes, mentally. But something, woo, is happening to the United Pentecostal Church. In the cause of the times, 86, there is more than head preaching going on. God's been doing some hot stuff. I want to preach tonight about the teraphim. God has impressed this for me to preach to you. I have done some research on the idol teraphims. I'm telling you, it's bigger than what I am. But I'm going to do my dead level best with what a teraphim in the Old Testament was a household idol. But it
lessons too, Brother Kilgore. Was something that gave direction to a family. You besought a teraphim to get instruction for the mind, a form of an occult business. I heard Brother Tenney say today about the seduction of Christianity. I hadn't read that book, so I didn't get that out of a book. I'm preaching this out of my bosom. But the teraphim popped up in the most unusual places in Scripture. Unusual places. In fact, there's times you find it in Scripture when it had the form of a man. As in the case of Michael, who, when Saul was looking for David, hid the teraphim under the covers and put all kinds of fur around it so that Saul would be fooled, thinking a man was in the bed instead of an idol. But all it was, Brother Oral, was an idol to saturate the mind with knowledge. So here we come, all right? Here we go. Here comes Abraham. Brother Kilgore, you preached about him last night so beautifully. But here comes Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. What's the first thing he does? He separates himself from idols. Because God says to Abraham, if you're going to be my boy, I want more than your mind. I want your heart, Abraham. So I'm going to lead you, not by your brain, but by your heart. This God I'm going to give you, this glory I'm going to give you, is not going to be thought up. It's going to be felt. Come on, Abraham, let me hurry. Come on, Abraham. Separate yourself from idols. All right, God, I'm coming. So Abraham comes to Canaan, and he puts idolatry out of his house. And the first generation has no idols. But Abraham begets Isaac. And Abraham, who has no idols but altars, begets a son who digs wells and who makes altars. It's bigger than I am, but I'm going to get there. My mind can't comprehend what I want to say in the Holy Ghost tonight, but I'm going to get there. The second generation refuses idols in its company. But the second generation banks on what the first generation gave it. Heart religion. Altars. Sacrifices. Wells and the power and the glory of God. And here comes the third generation. No idols, Brother Kraft. Here comes the third generation, Jacob. I'm one of them. Pops, it's so good to see you. God love you. Man, that honors me that you're here. Praise God. Here comes the third generation. Supplanter. Cheater. Doing his brother in. Unkind. I hate to admit it, but that's us. Now hear me now. And although we don't want it, something's happened to this generation that I'm a part of. That I'm going to try to preach out of us right here in the next 30 minutes. Abraham wouldn't let him have no idols. I
Isaac would slap his jaws to mention it. But when you're a cheater, and when you're a liar, and when you're a supplier, you'll find a way to get what granddad and daddy never let you have. So Jacob never had him at home, Brother Anthony. But who in the name of God did he go over and start courting? Laban's kids. Leah and Rachel. The products of not a heart religion, but a mind religion. It's more than idolatry, folks. I'm not preaching television. I'm not preaching holiness message tonight. I'm preaching something greater than that. This thing's deeper than little idolatry things. I'm talking about a system. I'm talking about a humanistic system. I'm talking about mind power. I'm talking about mind preaching. I'm talking about getting what you want by the power of your mind. But we've had too many strange marriages. Heart preachers marrying mind systems. And you're not trying to court a mind. Some strange bedfellows in Pentecost. Bible says this is the rest. What is the rest? The Holy Ghost baptism. Of the head? No, of the heart. Out of your innermost being. Wow, shall flow rivers of living water. Not out of your ears. Not out of your nose. Out of your heart. Out of your heart.
I've heard from the Lord. I've heard from the Lord. I don't know what makes us third generationers think we're so smart that we can marry a Leah and a Rachel without even trying to change them. They wasn't raised like you was raised, honey. I remember Sister Megan used to come out of Texaco District. A little old bit of fire. Right? She said, one of you in Brother Mangan's camps. Hey, today, Brother Mangan, it was while your wife was preaching. I received my call to preach. But she wasn't telling me, fake it till you make it. She wasn't telling about a pie in the sky and a pie. She was saying, something's got to get in your heart. Something's got to get in you. And I'll push my way through snow cone waters and Coca-Cola hungry and hot dog hungry young people. And I said, God, I want it. I want it. I want it. Hey, this thing, you've got to get in your heart, God. You've got to love it more than life. You've got to love it more than it.
Known as the sectarian cycle. The first
first generation of the sectarian cycle is God-centered. Everything God. Where we going tonight? What night is it? Wednesday. Where do you think we're going, son? We're going to church. God-centered. God-centered. Abraham. God-centered. Altars. Heart. The second generation is parent-centered. I don't want to diffuse and dispute my fathers. I love them too much. So the Isaac complexes I will preserve what's been given me. But the third generation is self-centered. I'll do it my way and nobody else's. And nobody's going to tell me what I can and can't do. There's a strange bedfellow trying to weave its way into Pentecost that's been worked his head over this week. Heart people can't marry into a mind world and take on their characteristics. Let me just give you some examples of teraphim lovers, okay? Let me just give you some examples. One was Micah, the priest in Judges 17, the priest of the Danites. You know what Micah became? And I believe it's directly related to the teraphim or the mind religion in his home. He became a hireling. They paid him, told him what to preach. Because he couldn't touch their heart, because he didn't have a heart to touch their heart. I've talked with the Maker. I know where I'm at, and I'm on good ground because Jesus is walking with me right now. I don't want a preacher that lets a big time player affect him. I don't want a preacher that lets a social clique affect him. We need somebody that from the heart will say, thus saith the Lord. You're smart, ain't you, Bubba? You better be smart enough to hit your knees in this hour. You know what happened to the Valley of Laish? They were quiet and secure. They had no king. And they wouldn't upline themselves to holiness preaching, no magistrate. Because we're as smart as the preacher. Because they have been looking at teraphims too long. But here's one that's going to blow your little mind. Michael had a teraphim. David's wife. What did she do when old David cut a rusty in the street? Everything we've always preached, people that had teraphims were against. Give me a little room. Make room for the maid. Woo! I'm fixing to have myself a whole outfit around here. Oh, but old David, a man after God's own heart. Not his mind, his heart. He said, hey, Obed-Edom. Hey, Obed-Edom. Get ready, Obed. Get ready, Obed. Get ready, boy. Get ready, Obed. Get ready. What's going to happen, David?
idea, but let me sit one more time. But it's a little different light this time, ain't it? He says, I don't have no idols in my house. I'm just an old heart preacher. Boy, it's feeling good right now. So he said, boys, let's just walk a little bit and see how many steps I can take before I get with it. Because I'm so tired of messing with minds. I'm so tired of Reverend Ike's in Jerusalem. I'm so tired of this pie-in-the-sky religion that's been dappled with. I'm ready to just get down and bump dance. I'm ready just to get down where the rubber meets the road and let my heart do what it will and take my body with it. I don't understand these folks that are against worship. I just don't understand you. You got a bad marriage, boy.
Now listen to me. While the heart man is in the street, the mind power is looking, saying, look at that old time business. That went out with the dark ages. That went out a long time ago. We're in a new day. What would you say, Teraphim? I would say you need wisdom, not worship. Wise men, that's what I would say. Okay, I'll tell the idiot when he gets up here. David, you're so foolish.
And down in that corner sits that terrible, that ugly looking, man looking person.
David, you're so ugly. How horrible it was today. Vile. Thank you, Brother Denny. My mind was blank. How vile it was today. You uncovered yourself and just went berserk. What caused that, David? Honey, can I tell you a little story? A lion came to see me one day. Woo! And a bear came one day. And a giant stood in the valley of Eor one day. And my mind couldn't function, but my heart did.
Misunderstood, but I said it, and don't misquote me. I'm going to say it anyhow.
Say it. Say
It's not just shouting that gets the job done. It's what promotes the worship. Anybody can get with it. When a choir's singing and 85 people are on the beat, that's psychological. But give me somebody that comes red hot from a prayer room and says, I don't care what you do. I don't care how smart you are. I'm going to praise the Lord. I don't want barren altars. I don't want barren pulpits. We got to be hard people and not mine.
Oh, I could preach about another one. His name was Balaam.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
Yes, sir.
Balaam. You know who Jewish historians believe he is? The grandson of Laban. The son of Boaz, who is the son of Laban. They believe he's the grandson of the teraphim worshiper.
Because he's from Aram, which is Padan Aram. He's got the right homeland, right city. Probably lived right next door to Grandpa all his life. And went over and said, tell me about that mine tower, Gramps.
Ain't it amazing, though, that God put hearts in donkeys? Call him dumb as a donkey. Call him stupid as a jack. Call him anything you want to call him. But God did put a heart in a donkey one day. And when the teraphim worshiper couldn't hear from God, a donkey could. You hear me? God's going to bring this mind business to naught. And it's going to get back to old time power. And old time preaching. And old time heart and help. And on. Come here. I just feel like praying for you.
because I just don't want to get your head fixed up. I want you to leave here running parallel with your heart. So Laban, oh, he got upset. I've got a few more things to say, but I got to quit. It's bigger than I am, folks. But old Laban went on a sheep shearing. When he came back, it wasn't his daughters missing that bugged him. It was that mind power. My Lord, I got to chase them images down. Because I don't have no direction with no images. Because he ain't never prayed. So he ran after a 7 days journey to catch up with Jacob and his two wives. And he didn't even kiss the girls. He said, "Where's the gods?" Now, here's something that maybe you ain't never thought of. Leah didn't take the gods. Rachel did. Who had the kids? Who was barren? Hey, let me tell you something. Get as smart as you want to get, but when it comes to salvation and religion, it's got to be down here. Hey, Brother Mangan, I believe we can out-preach them. We can't out-sing them. But what I want to do is out-heart them. I want to out-love them. I want to out-worship them. I want to out-pray them. I got to quit. Get your Bible, brother. Listen now. Jacob said, when Rachel hid those things set on that box and wouldn't let her daddy examine that box, he said, "All right, we fixed to do some idol crashing. Hey, my grandpa didn't have it, and my daddy didn't have it, and I might have been a cheater 20 years ago, and I might have held the wrong stick up to the wrong cows a few days ago, but I'm going to tell you something. We fixed to get that out of us. I'm tired of being this kind of generation." Yeah. So take care of those images and get out of that mind over matter and that positive mental attitude, and we're going to get back to faith and works. You believe that God's going to meet with me, and I'll fix him to go find me an altar. I'm going back to Peniel. I'm going back to a place where God touched me, and I'm going to find the power of God of the heart of Abraham and of Isaac. That's what's happened this week, Brother Mangan. We ain't heard mind preaching. We ain't heard just physical preaching. We've been dug up. We've been dug up. We have been preached from the top of our head to the sole of our feet back to our heart. So 20 years later, chapter 32, verse 12. 20 years later, chapter 32, Brother Williams. 20 years later, the cheater that had been in mind Pentecost said it's time to become a heart apostolic. And an angel came and wrestled with him. Listen what happened in verse 12 of chapter 32. Listen.
"And thou saidest, I will surely do..."
You know what? Jacob reminded him. Boy, he had a good memory. That showed he was smart. See, Jacob had enough sense. We all got enough sense. He had plenty of sense because he remembered a 20-year statement, Brother Kilgore. He said, "Thou saidest to me 20 years ago, if I want to
do thee good."
He said, "I will surely do thee good.
And make thy seed as the sand of the sea."
"And make thy seed as the sand of the sea.
Which cannot be numbered for multitude."
Which cannot be numbered for multitude. Thank you, Brother Williams. Go to verse 31 and 32. "And so all night, angel and man and man and angel..." Right. "And the angel said, get it out of here, Jacob, and get it in here."
Right. Right. That's right.
"Get it out of your brain, boy,
soft soap preachers. That every time a little cross comes with an elder, they want to turn the card in. Some of you younger preachers, and I've been there, the greatest thing you can do is pour water on the hands of your elders and love them. They love you and are giving you this inheritance.
I got to see it, my God.
God blessed him, changed his name to Israel. And here's my final thought. Read.
And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him.
Stop. Notice, the sun wasn't going down. It was a coming up. Because a new day's happened at because of the times, 86. I'm sorry, Brother Magan, I went 10 minutes over. But the sun's coming up, Reed.
And he halted upon his thigh.
And he halted. Read on.
Therefore, the children of Israel eat not of the sinew,
which shrank. Is a message right there. Sinew that shrank. Read on.
Which is upon the hollow of the thigh.
Read it.
Because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh.
He touched the hollow of his thigh.
In the sinew that shrank.
That shrank. You know what the shrinking of the sinew is? Flesh getting little. And spirit getting big. Bust our little mind castles. Get egos, pride, jealousies, envies. Just take it out. Shrink the sinew. Let the flesh die. And let your spirit live. I love all of you. Let's have heart revival in 86.